भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नरं
चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयत् नश्च प्रायश्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत्सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। श्रीमद्भागवतं कैंटो 2 द कॉस्मिक मैनिफेस्टेशन चैप्टर 9 आंसर्स बाय साइटिंग द लॉर्ड्स वर्जन। Text 1. Sri Shuka Vacha Atma Mayam Rite Rajan Parasyanu Bhavatmana Nagate Tartha Sambandha Swapna Drashtu Ivanjasa. Translations. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, O King, unless one is influenced by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no meaning to the relationship of the pure soul in pure consciousness with the material body. That relationship is just like a dreamer seeing his own body working. Just talking about it. So this is answering the questions from the 8th chapter. The first three verses, Shukadeva was going to see or going to give them the relationship with the soul and the material body. These three verses, I was going to talk about that. So then the question was whether the jiva's relation to the body is with or without cause. That was Parikshit Maharaj's question. Then you can see here, it answers very clearly. So it is not from the avidya shakti. Yeah? The jiva is already independent. But because he is covered by material energy, he has this body. But the body is not the jiva. That's something that a lot of people misunderstand. Oftentimes you find people think the body and the soul is the same thing. So here he's saying very clearly, saying the jiva is of a pure consciousness. The matter is not, so they're different. They're not of the same. So the only way the relationship is, he says, it's like a dreamer seeing his own body working. Yeah. Otherwise, we also don't understand how to figure this out. So that's why, parasyanu bhavatmanaha. Pure conscious. Parasya. Pure. So the soul is pure and it has pure consciousness. So therefore there's no way it is part of Maya. It is not. So it's different. The jiva is superior. Parasya. So that we have to understand. And he has all the knowledge actually. Anubhavatmanaha. But because he's covered, because of the ignorance, he doesn't know that. And the relationship he's seeing with matter is because of the Maya Shakti. Otherwise, it's not possible for him to see that. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, towards the end of the first paragraph, although the living entity is purely conscious in his pure state, he is subordinate to the will of the Lord in being influenced by the external energy of the Lord. See that? Prabhupada. And then, in the next paragraph, Prabhupada asks, now the next question automatically made will be, why the Lord influences the living entity to such consciousness and forgetfulness? The answer is that the Lord clearly wishes that every living entity be in his pure consciousness as a part and parcel of the Lord, and thus be engaged in the loving service of the Lord as he is constitutionally made. Now that's the reason for creation. He's supposed to serve the Lord. But because a living entity is partially independent, that means he also has independence, he may not be willing to serve the Lord, but may try to become as independent as the Lord is. So that is our sickness. All the non-devotee living entities are desirous of becoming equally as powerful as the Lord, although they are not fit to become so. The living entities are illusioned by the will of the Lord because they wanted to become like him. Like a person who thinks of becoming a king without possessing the necessary qualification. When the living entity desires to become the Lord himself, he is put in a condition of dreaming that he is a king. So this is the reason why we are all covered. Then Prabhupada says, therefore the first sinful will of the living entity is to become the Lord. So that's our first sinful activity. And the consequent will of the Lord is that the living entity forget his factual life and thus dream of the land of utopia where he may become one like the Lord. So he sent to the material world. The child cries to have the moon from the mother, and the mother gives the child a mirror to satisfy the crying and disturbing child with the reflection of the moon. Similarly, the crying child of the Lord is given over to the reflection, the material world, to lord it over as karmi, and to give this up in frustration to become one with the Lord. That's the reason. So he learned something. Both these stages are dreaming illusions only. There's no necessity of tracing out the history of when the living entity desired this. A lot of people always want to know this. But the fact is that as soon as he desired it, he was put under the control of Atma Maya by the direction of the Lord. Therefore, the living entity in his material condition is dreaming falsely that this is mine and this is I. The dream is that the conditioned soul thinks of his material body as I, or falsely thinks that he is the Lord and that everything in connection with that material body is mine. Thus, only in dream does the misconception of I and mine persist life after life. So this is the conditioned state of the living entity. This continues life after life as long as the living entity is not purely conscious of his identity as the subordinate part and parcel of the Lord. So we have to come to that conclusion and not get swayed away, that we are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. We are subordinate to him, we are his servants. In the next paragraph, Prabhupada says, in his pure consciousness, however, there is no such misconceived dream. And in that pure conscious state, the living entity does not forget that he is never the Lord, but that he is eternally the servitor of the Lord in transcendental love. So that is the first point Sukadeva Goswami explains. Text 2.
Bahurupa
ivabati
Mayaya bahurupaya
Rama
mano
guneshvasya
Mamahamiti manyate.
The illusion living entity appears in so many forms offered by the external energy of the Lord. While enjoying in the modes of material nature, the encaged living entity misconceives, thinking in terms of I and mine. So now you see, in the first verse, Prabhupada explains, he is covered and he is dreaming, thinking. Dream means he is thinking, he is identifying with the body. And he's living a life through this consciousness. He's not doing anything, he's just in the body, and whatever desires is allowing us to do all this activity. It's such a powerful. Why? Because this energy of the Lord is inconceivable. It can do the impossible. That's what we are experiencing. And that's why it's so hard to understand how this is working. The only way is we have to get out is through purifying our consciousness. And then we will get some understanding, and then we get faith, and then we progress. To increase faith, you must believe that the Holy Name can deliver you. There's no other way in this Kali Yuga. There's no other way. It's only through the chanting. So you have to develop more faith in this. So in this verse 2, the jiva actually appears to get a relationship with the material nature. Unexpectedly he comes here because he didn't think he would come. He fought with the Lord, boom. Because his consciousness changed, the Lord put him here. Okay, you try to be the Lord here with consequences, to learn that you cannot actually be the Lord. Because if you are the Lord, you should be able to control this material nature, no? You can't. So you are subordinates, therefore you suffer in this material world. To realize that actually there's a different purpose for you. Once you uncover that, then that's what devotional service is all about. To discovering yourself. You are not this, I'm that. So of course, Prabhupada gives you all the different ways. The three modes of material nature combines itself many times to give you 8.4 million varieties of bodies. And then there's a verse in the Padma Purana which says, you want to say it loudly so everyone can hear. So it's given in the Padma Purana, the number of species already, it's already there. Yeah. Scientists will keep saying they're discovering, but we already know there's 8.4 million. Okay, so that many species are there. And they're all trying to enjoy in different bodies. And the human form is the only body that allows you to understand spiritual knowledge. It's very significant. Other forms are only for enjoying or going through some karma. You wanted to enjoy this specific thing, you get a specific body. A human form of body, yeah, you can enjoy also, but it is also the medium where you can transgress these material modes. Very important to know. And so therefore, we have more responsibility.
Devta doesn't come in this species?
He is also part of the 400,000. Yeah. Of men. Yeah. So, human form includes all of them. Man. Yeah.
So, in that shloka, it says that we are like a human form of 400,000.
Yes, that includes devatas in there.
So, what that means basically? Like on earth, all are same basically.
Not necessarily.
All humans.
In one sense, yes. In another sense, no.
According to the species numbers.
Yeah, there are other types of people also. You can't tell. You can't tell.
Consciousness.
Yeah.
Consciousness.
Yeah. Also bodies are there. Like the devatas have a higher, more subtle body, and so on. Within the earthly planets, they may be subtle. You can see some people are not. Some, like the dwarfs in some Papua New Guinea, they're all little people and so on. So they are different types of human. So there is a subtle difference, and then on the normal people, there is also difference. But some you can see, some you can't see. And then it goes to ghosts, and then it goes to Rakshasas and so on. Gandharvas, all these are human, those who look like human, like that. Maybe not ghosts.
It's like 400,000 types of different drivers. Depending on the driver's drive, the car may go on different ways also.
So, this 8.4 million is all different universes?
Everything, up and down, all included.
So, it's one planet, one universe, yeah.
Universe, so it's same. Same, yeah. Template. Blueprint. If you read Brahma Samhita, you know everything comes from prototype. And then they go to different, from one prototype, that Brahma will go into different universe. Same, the shape is same, but they may have different heads and things like that. Now in the second paragraph, Prabhupada says the different positions of the living entities in the material world under multifarious manifestations of bodies are due to the misconception of mine and I. The karmi thinks of this world as mine, and the jnani thinks I am everything. Because one wants to possess material thing, the other one wants to merge. The whole material conception of politics, sociology, philanthropy, altruism, etc., conceived by the conditioned souls, is on the basis of this misconceived I and mine, which are products of a strong desire to enjoy material life. It comes through because of too much association with material life. So therefore you can understand why Brahma, when he did tapas, it allowed him to be not connected to the material nature. It made him connect to Krishna. We will come to that. Identification with the body and the place where the body is obtained under different conceptions of socialism, nationalism, family affection, and so on and so forth, is all due to forgetfulness of the real nature of the living entity. And the whole misconception of the bewildered living entity can be removed by the association of Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit, as all this is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, again, Prabhupada gives you another solution. You read the Bhagavatam, you will get out of this misconception. Powerful blessings, but we have to take advantage. If you don't take advantage, then you have no one to blame. Text 3. Yarhi vava mahimni sve
parasmin kalamayayo
ramate gata sammohas
chaktva daste tado bhayam.
Translation. As soon as the living entity becomes situated in his constitutional glory and begins to enjoy the transcendence beyond time and material energy, he at once gives up the two misconceptions of life, I and mine, and thus becomes fully manifested as the pure soul. So when he is attached to the Lord is not of this material world. And the jiva is also not of this. When he becomes attached to the Lord, he gives up the attachment to both maya and time also. Time only exists here. So when he is attached to the Lord is eternal, so therefore time has no effect on him in that sense. And he becomes free of illusion. And so he is always detached in that situation. So Prabhupada says the two misconceptions of life, namely I and mine, are verily manifested in two classes of men. In the lower state, the conception of mine is very prominent, and in the higher state, the misconception of I is prominent. That means according to your consciousness. A lower state can be a child also, everything the child wants. Right? In the animal state of life, the misconception of mind is perceivable even in the category of cats and dogs who fight with one another with the same misconception of mind. My property, why are you coming here? They bark at you. Yeah. In the lower stage of human life, the same misconception is also prominent in the shape of it is my body. It is my house, it is my family, it is my caste, it is my nation, it is my country, and so on. And in the highest stage of speculative knowledge, the same misconception of mind is transformed into I am, or it is all I am. So, there are many classes of men comprehending the same misconception of I and mind in different colors. But the real significance of I can be realized only when one is situated in the consciousness of I am the eternal servitor of the Lord. That is the real consciousness. This is pure consciousness, and the whole Vedic literatures teach us this conception of life. So that's important. And that's one of the reasons why Srila Prabhupada gave us this understanding, and we are initiated as Das and Dasi. So we immediately know that I am a servant of Krishna. Not that you are Krishna. Just like when your name is like Narayan, doesn't mean you are Narayan. You are Narayan Das. Right? So that we must accept that. I am actually Das. That's what why in our Gauri Sampradaya, we have this Dasa. So that we understand, I am the eternal servant of the Lord. Otherwise it is meaningless, right? Otherwise you can say Namo Narayana. You are Narayan, I am Narayana. Namo Narayana. Without proper understanding. But there is a difference. We already discussed the Lord is so powerful that even the material nature cannot come near Him. Okay, then in the next paragraph, Prabhupada says, the misconception of I am the Lord or I am the Supreme is more dangerous than the misconception of mine. This is even more subtle. Yeah.
Second is the following.
Although there are sometimes direction in the Vedic literature to think oneself one with the Lord, that does not mean that one becomes identical with the Lord in every respect. It's very subtle, but that's where people fall into a trap. And they'll argue. No, it says. It's a last snare, as Prabhupada says. We are one with the Lord in terms of spirit, you know. But we are not in the same, yeah, quality-wise we are one, but not in quantities. He is infinite. He is the Lord. He is our Creator. We are not the same. Undoubtedly, there is oneness of the living entity with the Lord in many respects, but ultimately the living entity is subordinate to the Lord and he is constitutionally meant for satisfying the senses of the Lord. So this is where we fail also. We try to enjoy the senses, our own body senses. And so therefore, we have to learn how to surrender to the Lord, to the instructions of the Lord, to the spiritual master. In that way, we get out of this conditioning. Prabhupada then says, the material energy which is controlling us is very powerful. He says, the Bhagavad Gita 9:10 confirms this controlling power of the Lord over the material nature. Maya? Sir Characharan, that's right. This, how many times Prabhupada has mentioned this already? Same verse, so that's why I keep asking, you all keep forgetting. 9:10. So, you have to know this verse also. Bhakti Vaibhava doesn't mean Bhagavad Gita is gone, you know. It means you know this verse, how it applies. So, in your Bhakti Vaibhava, for example, in your chapter, Canto 2 exam, some of these Bhagavad Gita verses will be asked also. Yeah. Plus some of these verses Prabhupada quotes, from different cantos. Yeah, they will be asked also. So, it's only 10 chapters, so don't worry. Not much. Third canto has double. It's 32 chapters, I think.
So some people say that the fall down of India is because of excessive spread of Mayavad. They used to say everything is Brahman, so Muslims are attacking, it's okay, everything is Brahman, let them attack.
Oh, who said that?
Some people are saying like that.
All these people don't know what they're talking about. Some aspects, yeah, but I don't think it's the main aspect. The reason why the whole culture fell down was because of
Kali Yuga,
of course.
False caste system.
And Kali Yuga.
Puja for hire.
Well, that was I won't agree with everything, but pretty
so
much.
Yeah. Things which yeah.
Currently practice. Yes. Yeah.
Currently,
yeah. Yeah, the influence of Kali Yuga is always there. It's always going to bring down. But not only that, we read in the first canto, the Brahminical culture fell down because of
Kashyapa.
What's the boy's name?
Shringi.
Okay. Ah, hello. Shringi. Yeah. And what does Prabhupada say in the purport?
It's the beginning of
the decline of the Brahminical culture. Yeah. And then all those who died in the Kurukshetra battle and so on, who are not pure, came and took birth also in the Brahminical culture, and their demoniac nature came out, and they slowly, the false, then the caste system started to differentiate. Brahmins didn't understand their position in society. And if you should read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, what is it? Chaitanya Shikshamrita? Or is it? I think it's either that or is it Krishna Samhita? Krishna Samhita, maybe. So in there, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains how this thing also breaks down. So anyway, alright, the Bhagavad Gita conference is controlling power of the Lord over the material nature. So if the Lord can control the material nature, so therefore Prabhupada says, can a living entity who claims to be as good as the Supreme Being control the material nature? So they can't, right? They claim, oh, I am God also. Then why are you suffering? For now I don't know I am God, but when I know I am God, I can control. What is this? So that is foolishness. So the Prabhupada continues, the foolish I would reply that he will do so in the future. Even accepting that in the future one will be as good a controller of material nature as the Supreme Being, then why is one now under the control of the material nature? Very clear. But you can see how they mess around with your head, with logic and so on. It's all nonsense. So, later on, towards the end of that paragraph, Prabhupada says about the living entity, in his conditioned life, the living entity is servant of the illusory Maya. And in his liberated state, he is the pure, unqualified servant of the Lord. To become untainted by the modes of material nature is the qualification for entering into the service of the Lord. So, again, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes purification, sadhana bhakti. Understand? So, you have to chant your rounds. Seriously. Not just mess around. Even 1-2 round also, you have to chant seriously.
So, if there was no this concept of I, the world as we know will not even exist. Because everybody wants that my factory, my company, my...
As Prabhupada explains, the moment they want to compete with the Lord, then this I, my comes in. Then you are here. It's in a blink of an eye.
Compared to like 300 years ago,
if you compare,
what we are seeing now is because of that excessive I and mind.
Yeah, more materialism, right? More enjoying the matter. Like, for example,
is anybody enjoying it? Mostly suffering.
Well, they are thinking they're enjoying. Otherwise, why are they pursuing it so earnestly? Right? You look at yourself, you know. You came from India because you wanted to enjoy something here.
Yeah, it's mental,
it is. Yeah. That's what the point is. We are all trying to enjoy. Yeah. We guided towards the greatest
study
enjoyment.
More, get degrees.
Yeah, but why?
Mental enjoyment.
Enjoyment, yeah. Huh? Yeah, what is for?
Even money is actually secondary. It's mostly the expansion of false ego. That I have done something.
Maybe you're running after unknown.
Unknown, exactly.
Yeah, but again, who would want to run after something if you don't know what is there? Nobody is willing to take risk that easily. They will take risk if they know what is behind there.
Nobody is looking for misery. Like, at least when I came to America,
yeah.
I let me go to America and not suffer. No.
No, you're not thinking this.
Nobody is looking for some kind of happiness.
Suffering, definitely nobody. Even the newborn baby will not look for suffering. Even he's never taught like how to catch. But if he's falling from the mother's lap or in the hand, he'll try to nab something. So he knows that time also he's going to fall. Something is going to hit him. So that's a human. But actually, if you ask somebody, they will only what has been taught to us, like money, fame, wealth, all those things. We have been like tuned in that way. But still, if we ask personally, if he tells truly, then they are running after unknown, basically.
No, there's no such thing as running after. That's mayavad. What do you mean they're running after unknown? Who runs after unknown? Why you all came? You knew why you all came. You also knew why you
money.
Came. How can you say you don't know why you came?
Money. Money is honey. Money.
Yeah. Prabhupada says money is honey. Sweeter than honey, no?
Like today, one of my colleagues who is very well placed, high position, he said he wants to start his own company.
Why?
He said, if I don't do it now, when will I do it?
Yeah.
So it is for fame.
Okay, so that's higher than that subtle enjoyment.
But the point is, whether it is money or but the goal is to be happy.
Pleasure seeking.
Yeah. That is the reason.
He's willing to put in more hours, like 16 hours every day.
That the bottom line you all have to understand is you are always seeking some pleasure, something.
Pleasure in different ways.
Yes. As long as you're in the material world, you're seeking. Even the yogis are seeking pleasure.
Pleasure in the sensual level, pleasure in the mind, pleasure in the.
That's right.
So if they analyze, like you already said, like we go to spend 16 hours a day. So we look at that, how much time he is spending for himself, for even enjoying basically.
He is not enjoying actually, he will be suffering for the next 10 years.
No, that this is
it. See, that's why you all don't understand. He is enjoying.
No, in the 16 hours he is putting
in,
he
is
enjoying.
That
is
his enjoyment.
He is seeking enjoyment
through that process.
Through that hard work, the result he gets is his goal. That's his enjoyment.
Unfortunately,
that doesn't
change. Yes. Huh? Yes. The scientist is receiving.
Yeah, then you all think enjoyment is feeling like that, you know. But some people, they think, oh, in 10 years I will enjoy. That is, the goal is there to enjoy. I will suffer now, but I will enjoy later. But what they don't understand is they will suffer all the way till they die. and whatever little enjoyment is just a break in the suffering process.
So is it due to bad karma that they have to work so hard?
It's not a question of that. You create this karma, right?
It's their desire.
Yeah, it's the desire that leads you to good or bad. But choices is what you have. Every moment in your life you have a choice. Do it by the books or do it against the books. Yeah, that's all. And that's where you create all this good and bad. Anyway, at the last paragraph, 4 or 5 lines from the bottom, Prabhupada says, the perfect process is to accept Lord Vasudeva as the supreme in everything. And the best perfection in culturing knowledge is to surrender unto him because he is the source of everything. Only in that conception can one get rid of the misconception of I and mine. So Prabhupada never left this point in the whole purport from the beginning. Both Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam confirm it. Srila Vyasadev has specifically contributed to the illusion living entities, the science of God, and the process of Bhakti Yoga in his great literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, and the conditioned soul should fully take advantage of this great science. Same, we have to take full advantage. Not just try to enjoy some little katha like that, but really understand what this science of God is. You know? So text 4. Atma tattva vishuddhyartham.
Atma tattva vishuddhyartham.
Yad aha bhagavanritam.
Yad aha bhagavanritam.
Brahmani darshayam rupam.
Brahmani darshayam rupam.
Avyalika vratadritaha.
Avyalika vratadritaha.
O King, the personality of Godhead, being very much pleased with Lord Brahma because of his non-deceptive penance in Bhakti Yoga, presented his eternal and transcendental form before Brahma, and that is the objective goal for purifying the conditioned soul. There you go. Revealing his spiritual form to Brahma. Why? Because Brahma was
truthful
devotee, not deceptive. So it's interesting. It's possible that someone like Brahma can be deceptive in the penance also. That means it's possible for the, if that living entity is not pure, then he may just want to get some power and meditate for that. Like Hiranyakashipu and all, they just meditated for some power. They were not thinking of liberating and going back and doing service to the lotus feet of the Lord. Whereas Brahma, his mood is different. That's why he is non-deceptive penance. In the purport, Prabhupada says, Atma Tattva is the science of both God and the living entity. Both the Supreme Lord and the living entity are known as Atma. The Supreme Lord is called Paramatma and the living entity is called the Atma, the Brahma or the Jiva. So living entity is sometimes known as Atma, Brahma or Jiva. Both the Paramatma and the Jivatma, being transcendental to the material energy, are called Atma. Few lines down, like three lines down, Prabhupada says, but both misconceptions can be removed by one stroke of Bhakti Yoga. Just as in the sunlight, both the sun and the world and everything within the sunlight are properly seen. In the darkness, one cannot see the sun, nor himself, nor the world. But in the sunlight, one can see the sun, himself, and the world around him. Srila Sukadeva Goswami therefore says that for purification of both wrong conceptions, the Lord presented his eternal form before Brahmaji, being fully satisfied by Brahma's non-deceptive vow of discharging Bhakti Yoga. So that means we sometimes do Bhakti Yoga in name only and not really seriously interested, not pure. Karma Mishra, Jnana Mishra, Yoga Mishra, like that. Except for Bhakti Yoga, any method for realization of Atma Tattva or the science of Atma will prove deceptive in the long run. So that means we will be cheating ourselves. So Atma Tattva means the science of soul or the Supreme Super Soul. Yes. So this is the science that we are learning, the Atma Tattva. So in the next paragraph, Prabhupada writes towards the middle of the paragraph, he says, the form of the Lord is Sachit Ananda, O eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And the opposite is material form of the living entity. It's not eternal, it's temporary, there's no knowledge, full of ignorance and is full of suffering. It's not bliss. And the last paragraph, Prabhupada writes, three lines down, he says, one can understand this difference by the process of Bhakti Yoga. That means the jiva is in material body, the Supreme Lord is in the Satchidananda body. Brahma was then told by the Lord the gist of Srimad Bhagavatam in four original verses, which you will come to later. The Srimad Bhagavatam is not a creation of the mental speculators. The sound of Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental, and the resonance of Srimad Bhagavatam is as good as that of the Vedas. Thus, the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of both the Lord and the living entity. Regular reading or hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam is also performance of Bhakti Yoga. Right? So, we have to do that regularly. And one can attain the highest perfection simply by the association of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then he says, both Sukadeva Goswami Maharaj Parishi attained perfection through the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam. One by speaking, the other by hearing. So this answers the second question about the difference between the body of the Lord and the Jiva. You know, remember he asked so many questions. So,
so in the, each question here in the verse in previous chapter is the same number here?
Not necessary. He just answers different sequence. How he, in the discussion, how he can answer, he'll answer those questions. Text 5. Sādhi devo jagatāṁ paro guru.
Sādhi devo jagatāṁ paro guru.
Svadishnyam astaya shishriksha yakshata. Tam nadya gacha drisham atra sammatam.
Tam nadya gacha drisham atra sammatam.
Prapancha nirmana videyaya bhava.
Prapancha nirmana videyaya bhava.
Lord Brahma, the first spiritual master, supreme in the universe, could not trace out the source of his lotus seed. And while thinking of creating the material world, he could not understand the proper direction for such creative work. Nor could he find out the process for such creation. So this discusses the first time Brahma is awake. Yeah, so he's looking, he doesn't know what to do. It's interesting though, he wants to create, that impetus to create is in his heart. And how to do it is his quest. And he is still intelligent enough to understand some instruction. And that's a difference between him and us.
So Brahma is the first spiritual master, and yet all the demons pray to him for something contrary to spiritual topics.
It's interesting, but yes.
So, when you were born, you were in a full, like, grown-up body, or?
What do you think?
I think it should be
born. He was born complete. Yeah, he was born an adult. In some cases, like Sukadeva Goswami, as soon as he came out, he
grew up.
Yeah.
All devatas are like they don't go through puberty. Not true. Diti, not true, not true. Diti held on for 100 years. She didn't want to give birth to her sons because she knew they were going to cause problems. But then because she held on through her tapas, she had caused more problem in the universe. So then she had to deliver them. Yeah, you're right. The demigods, they are grown immediately. As soon as they come out, they... Kumaras, they didn't want to grow. But Kumaras are mental sons of Brahmas. Different. They were not like conceived. Purport. Yes. Text, in the second paragraph, Prabhupada writes, the power of creation by Lord Brahma was also achieved by Bhakti Yoga. Okay? So whatever Brahma did is also considered Bhakti Yoga. A lot of people think he just did it out of some austerity. But actually, this is Bhakti Yoga, please the Lord, means Bhakti Yoga. Brahmaji was bewildered in the matter of creation and he could not even trace out the source of his own existence. But all this knowledge was fully achieved by him through the medium of Bhakti Yoga. By Bhakti Yoga, one can know the Lord, and by knowing the Lord as the Supreme, one is able to know everything else. One who knows the Supreme knows everything else. Okay, that's another point Prabhupada wants to know. If you know Supreme, means automatically you know everything else. That is the version of all Vedas. Even the first spiritual master of the universe was enlightened by the grace of the Lord. So, who else can attain perfect knowledge of everything without the mercy of the Lord? If anyone desires to seek perfect knowledge of everything, he must seek the mercy of the Lord. And there's no other means. So, again for us, we have to accept this statement. No? Prabhupada saying, there's no other way except mercy of Lord and the devotees. To seek knowledge on the strength of one's personal attempt is a sheer waste of time. So I keep telling you all, you have to come together, chant together, the family that prays together stays together. Otherwise everything will go. Okay, so
as it is, very few devotees on the planet.
Exactly. So why have differences? Yeah, so Brahma was bewildered, but he didn't try to do it on his own. He wanted some help, and the instruction was given, and he thought about it and he said, this is good instruction. And then he performed that. Of course, Brahma is very intelligent and he understood clearly. For us, we need directions. And through people who know about it, the science of God and so on. So, when we are given this knowledge, we shouldn't just take it for granted and say, oh, I know it, but we don't know it. You will only know when you become realized. Until then, it's only gyan at best. Otherwise, you will be performing karma mishra bhakti, all kinds of bhakti. Yeah.
So, if somebody stays in this karma mishra bhakti for majority of their life, that's an impediment.
It's an impediment, but again, you know, Suchinan Sri Madhige, hey, Krishna is not that cruel to say you didn't do, you know. He still accepts whatever devotional you did, whether it's long or short, accordingly you take birth again to continue from where you missed out. Point is, do we really want to come back again? Huh? You know, all kinds of body problem, you know, why you want to go through? Right?
Mostly the demigods are mixed.
Well, demigods are considered to be sakama bhaktas. Of them, among them, they have also pure devotees. Yeah. When we think of demigods, we only think of one group of demigods. But there are sages also. They are, you know, like Diti's husband. All of them are sages, you know, the brahmanas, brahmana demigods, kshatriya demigods, like that. I don't know about shudra demigod. I don't know, but
Madhava Gopinath, he always used to say, if devotees, if they are not taking seriously, and if you miss the boat, because of our pious activities, we may go to the heavenly planet.
Yeah.
But if you go to heavenly planet, by the time you come back,
yeah, I said that.
Devotees here.
You'll be land of Kali Yuga.
So we'll be like, you'll miss the boat, and yeah, it's better to be serious and respect that.
Yeah. But you know, point is, I don't think, you know, devotee Krishna will put you in the position where you do devotional service. Yeah. Yeah. But it's a fact, it can happen if we miss the boat.
We don't want to develop our desires
in the wrong way, yeah. So it's important, no? Take take this instruction of Srila Prabhupada. If all you have to do is one or two people you are serious, then others will want to be like you. If nobody is serious, then others will be like you also. That's a fact.
Somebody's Swarupa Siddhi is to be a demigod. Is it possible that somebody's Swarupa Siddhi is to be a demigod?
That is not Swarupa Siddhi.
Within the material universe, everyone takes birth according to karma and desires, up or down. That's all. Swarupa Siddhi means it's your eternal form, this is spiritual form. Yeah. Constitutional position. So that's beyond this material world. No? Yeah. So.
But Bali Maharaj never really went to the spiritual world. He still.
Because the Lord wanted to grant him his
so
desire.
His constitutional position no. As a demigod, no.
No. He wanted to please the Lord, but he also conquered to be the king of everyone in this universe. So that desire. The Lord wanted to give him the kingly position. So in the next cycle, he will be the Indra. He will be blessed to be...
And after that, he will go back to God.
Yeah, he is a pure devotee. So the next Indra is a pure devotee. Alright, text 6. Sa chintayan dvyaksharam ekadam vasi upashrino dvirgaditam vacho vibhu spraseshu yacho dasham ekavimsham Niskinchananam nirpayadhanam vidu. While thus engaged in thinking in the water, Brahmaji heard twice from nearby two syllables joined together. One of the syllables was taken from the 16th and the other from the 21st of the Sparsha alphabets, and both joined to become the wealth of the renounced order of life. So, renounce order is basically the brahmanas or sannyas. But this refers to brahmanas. In the Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada writes about where this sound, ta, is coming from the sparsha varnas, and the talava varnas is where the 21st letter is coming from. So, ta and pa. So Prabhupada writes, penance is the beauty and wealth of the brahmanas and the renounced order of life, so sannyasis also. According to Bhagavata philosophy, every human being is meant simply for this tapa and for no other business, because by penance only can one realize his self. Now if you don't do sufficient tapa, then you will find a lot of suffering in your life. So this is voluntarily accepting suffering.
Suffering is also kind of tapa, right? But it's like forced.
It is not forced, it's more like, well, you can say it's forced also.
Not
voluntary, but you're forced because of karma.
So from Padma is not feeling well after
go. Migraine?
Huh?
Migraine?
Yeah, again she is having that attack.
Okay.
Hare
Krishna. Just log in and listen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and also through voluntary penance which are aimed at the Bhagavad philosophy or Krishna, you get self-realization. If the tapa is aimed at sense gratification, then you get some boons and stuff like that. That's what you aim for. So, at the last line of that paragraph, Prabhupada says, the human being is made to undergo tapasya for going back to Godhead, back home. So, your tapasya can be favorable or unfavorable. So, it's favorable when it is aligned with Krishna's desire, unfavorable when it's with for our sense gratification. When you do it for sense gratification, you have the added bonus of karma and suffering and so on. Yeah. When tapasya, it's done voluntarily, then it is not a suffering, because you don't see it as a suffering. When the tapasya is aimed at trying to get something to enjoy, then you see it as a suffering, actually. Yeah. Yeah. Tapasya in the mode of goodness. Penance in the mode of goodness. Penance in like. So, in the next paragraph, Prabhupada writes how Brahma in the water, when he was looking to see where this starts, he can't find actually. So then he heard the word tapa vibrated twice. So twice he was told tapa, tapa. So taking the path of tapa is the second birth of the desiring disciple. So all of you have to start doing tapasya now, if you want to be a disciple. Doesn't mean you don't eat and sleep, no? The word upashrinot is very significant. It is similar to upanayana, or bringing the disciple nearer to the spiritual master for the path of tapa. So Brahmaji was thus initiated by Lord Krishna. That was the second initiation, or Brahman initiation, so-called Brahman initiation. So this is clearly highlighted in the Brahma Samhita. You can read that. And in the last paragraph, Srila Prabhupada says, one who is thus initiated in the disciplic succession is able to achieve the same result or power of creation. So if you want to create, you can do that also. And then he says, chanting of this holy mantra is the only shelter of the desireless, pure devotee of the Lord. Of course, he's referring to the Krishna mantra that was given to the Bija mantra. But it's the same, no? The Maha mantra is just as good for us. Simply by such tapasya or penance, the devotee of the Lord achieves all perfections like Lord Brahma. So for us, chanting should be like a tapasya also. We should chant seriously. Yeah, all these are tapasya for us. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, all in favor of Krishna. Huh? Festivals. Appearance days, like that. Text 7, yeah. Brahma needed only to hear twice. If you and I, we may have to hear many times. It doesn't state clearly, but I guess the first time maybe he may have thought it's just some sound. So by hearing the second time, he's so interested, he knows this is instruction. But for us, we won't know what is instruction and what is not. No, actually, if you look at it, it's how many lifetimes? That's the number of times we have taken to accept it. Text 7. Nisam yatad vaktri didriksha yadisho. Vilokya tatranya rapasyamanaha.
Vilokya tatranya rapasyamanaha.
Swadishnyam ashtaya vimrishya taditam.
Swadishnyam ashtaya vimrishya taditam.
Tapasya upadishta ivadade manaha.
Tapasya upadishta ivadade manaha.
When he heard the sound, he tried to find the speaker, searching on all sides. But when he was unable to find anyone besides himself, he thought it wise to sit down on the lotus seat firmly and give his attention to the execution of penance as he was instructed. Right? So that shows great purity and intelligence, actually. Because if we were in the same situation in our present condition, what will happen? Either the source or you go crazy. No, you only, because you're alone, no? You go crazy. Yeah, you're alone and the ocean down is big hurricane going down. You're scary, no?
You went also
coming
down.
Couldn't find. Prabhupada says, to achieve success in life, one should follow the example of Lord Brahma, the first living creature in the beginning of creation. So that means what? We have to perform, take up tapasya. After being initiated by the Supreme Lord to execute tapasya, he was fixed in his determination to do it, and although he could not find anyone besides himself, he could rightly understand that the sound was transmitted by the Lord himself. So that Prabhupada is giving us more understanding. He understood that the Supreme Person is telling him. So that is his intelligence. He deduced very quickly that someone superior is giving me instruction. Hridaya Adhika. The whole thing is coming through his heart. He heard it and understood it. In the second paragraph, Srila Prabhupada writes, once he was initiated by the Lord himself, the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is coming down by disciplic succession, and in order to receive the real message of Srimad Bhagavatam, one should approach the current link or spiritual master in the chain of disciplic succession. So if you want the same guidance that Brahma got, we have to come to the same disciplic succession. Then a couple of lines down he said, one should not, however, think himself on the level of Brahma to be initiated directly by the Lord from inside, because in the present age no one can be accepted to be as pure as Brahma. So you have, we still have this problem. People go in front of mirror and initiate, or in front of their guru's picture, initiate and give themselves sannyas, give them. There are people doing it. At least I've, since I joined, there's at least three people given themselves sannyas. Different parts of the world. You may be laughing, but they all want to follow Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But he is a acharya, a pure devotee, was personally sent by the Lord. We are not in as pure as he is, just like what Prabhupada said. No one can be accepted to be as pure as Brahma. So, we have to accept we are not in that category, we are not that level. So we need to follow instructions first. First follow, then you can lead. Problem is, we want to lead first. Then a blind man will lead other blind people into the well. Everyone will fall together, like lemmings, right? Every 14 years or something, they say these lemmings will come out from the ground and they all run. Run, all run, and then they finally, they know where to go, they jump over the cliff like that. And they all die. It's like a rodent. Like a rodent, something like that. Like a mole, a wall, or something like that. You understand? L-E. Yeah. Yeah, they've given that. Yes. Yeah, there you go. Lemming. No, why are you going to climate? Anyway, they're lemmings. Yeah. They're also known as bowls sometimes. Anyway, we are not Brahmas. That's the main thing. So we have to surrender. Text 8. No, in the last paragraph, Srila Prabhupada says, therefore, the bona fide spiritual master who happens to meet the sincere devotee should be accepted as the most confidential and beloved representative of the Lord. So from our point, we have to see the spiritual master as confidential and beloved representative. That's our job. We are not there. Once you take initiation, you cannot start questioning the spiritual master. Unless, of course, some things are not in line with our standards. If a person is posted under the guidance of such a bona fide spiritual master, it may be accepted without any doubt that the desiring person has achieved the grace of the Lord. So this is how the Lord appears to us in this age. Okay? Not like for Brahma. So, like that story I said where the priest was saying, I pray to God, come and help me. Why he didn't come? So the Lord will send through different persons because that's our qualification. Unless you're very, very qualified, then the Lord will personally come. And even if he comes, nobody can see that he came. Except for that one person. Text 8. Divyam sahasrabdam amoga darshano.
Divyam sahasrabdam amoga darshano.
Jita nilatma vijito bayendriya.
Jita nilatma vijito bayendriya.
Atavyatasma kila lokatapanam.
Atavyatasma kila lokatapanam.
Tapastapiyam stapatam samahita.
Tapastapiyam stapatam samahita.
Lord Brahma underwent penances for 1,000 years by the calculations of the demigods. So this is demigod time. 1,000 celestial years. He heard this transcendental vibration from the sky and he accepted it as divine. Thus he controlled his mind and senses, and the penances he executed were a great lesson for the living entities. Thus he is known as the greatest of all ascetics. So nobody can do this tapasya. Okay, no one. Akila loka tapanam tapyam dapatam, greatest meditator. In the Purport, Srila Prabhupada says, one celestial year is equal to 6 times 30 times 12 times 1,000, which comes to 2,160,000 of our years. 2.16 million years.
2 billion years of our time you did tapasya.
So how many days of Brahma?
Our years, 2 million, no? Not...
Yeah,
so I'm giving that.
It's the number.
Yeah.
That is, 4,000 years is yeah. 2 million
years. Yes.
1,000 years of this time.
Yeah. God, he's
so times 1,000. Yeah. So which is 2 billion.
1,000 years of this time, right?
No, no, celestial, demigod, yes.
Right, but days of the demigod, so.
No.
Not like 6
years. 100 years.
Huh? Yeah, that's right. He lives only 100 years. Not his time. He's not on that demigod's time. It's for
demigod's means
for
below
God. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Demigod is actually lower time.
Yes.
71.
Yeah. Not. No, that's not. That's a day of Brahma.
That's 1 month.
1 month, yeah.
Demigods have changed. Many of them.
No, in one day of Brahma, there's 14 Manus.
Right. So 14 times the devatas change. The ruling period of one Manu is equal to ruling period. Not all. This
yeah, not all.
Not all.
Yeah. So anyway, we are not talking about that. We are saying about this. This is, if you times 1,000, then it will give you 2,160,000,000 years of our time. Okay. That's what we are talking about. Why you want to worry about how many days Brahma? It's you worry about how long it is from our point of view. Don't worry about how many days of Brahma.
You'll have to find a special calculator.
If you want to know, then he'll work it out for you, but it's not important.
I already did once, I got out.
If
had the similar question.
Huh?
So, why it is six times? Six, our 6 months is...
Yeah. One day.
It's not our... I thought our 6 months is only half, like a, one day means half, like 12 hours, one day means
half. Half a day, no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the six are... One day.
I don't know why Papa used six. I was thinking about that also. 6 months or six? Six?
Our 6 months is half a day.
Half a day.
That's what I thought. But then maybe Prabhupada is equivalent, like taking for one day. Our 6 months is one day for them.
That's what I.
Cross reference with
them. Anyway, you can always check it out with.
6 months is 1 hour for them or one day?
One day.
Our 6 months.
Hey, listen, it's not important.
6 months is 1 hour.
Let's continue.
Yeah, then it makes sense. Yes.
Okay, his acceptance of the sound was due to his pure vision of the absolute nature of the Lord. With this kind of figures, you try to figure out, you will get confused and you lose the main theme.
It's called a Sankhya.
Yeah. Just like Prabhupada says, 650 million people at the Kurukshetra battle, but one Akshuni doesn't come up with the computation, you cannot get it.
No, but there are cooks.
That's right. If you, that's right. Servants, cooks, chariot guys, this, that. So,
doctors.
So you know, it's not easy to understand how it is represented. So don't worry why the six Prabhupada used or why. There must be some Purana that he is using to calculate like that. Otherwise, we don't understand how he came to that conclusion. Okay, his acceptance of sound was due to his pure vision of the absolute nature of the Lord. So he has a high intelligence again, and he is more purer than us. And due to his correct vision, he made no distinction between the Lord and the Lord's instruction. That means when he heard the instruction, he accepted it coming from the Lord. So he started to do it. There's no difference, Prabhupada now says, there's no difference between the Lord and the sound vibration coming from him, even though he's not personally present. So therefore, when we read the Bhagavatam, the Lord is still present. When we chant his holy name, the Lord is still present like that. And then in the next paragraph, Prabhupada says, the secret of success is to receive the sound from the right source of a bona fide spiritual master. Mundane manufactured sound has no potency, and as such, seemingly transcendental sound received from an unauthorized person also has no potency. So there's verse also which says that, no? In the Padma Purana. Samprayaya vina mantra. Yeah. I don't know the full. Yeah. It's not coming from a bona fide, it's useless even if it's chanted. Yeah. So mundane manufactured sound is no potency, and such seemingly transcendent sound received from an unauthorized person also has no potency. One should be qualified enough to discern such transcendental potency, and either by discriminating or by fortunate chance, if one is able to receive the transcendental sound from a bona fide spiritual master, his path of liberation is guaranteed. The disciple, however, must be ready to execute the order of the bona fide spiritual master as Lord Brahma executed the instruction of his spiritual master, the Lord himself. So that means the spiritual master will know what the disciple can do, and then he gives that instruction. Otherwise, Krishna won't tell him to do tapa. He knows he can do it. That's why he told him to perform tapa.
Last verse.
Yeah, sampradaya vihina ye mantraste nishvala smritaha tasmaccha gamanang yasti sampradaya narayrapi. Okay.
It's from Garga.
Garga? That's what I thought, Padma Purana. Alright, so text 9. Tasmai salokam bhagavan sabhajita.
Tasmai salokam bhagavan sabhajita.
Sandarshayamasha param nayat param.
Sandarshayamasha param nayat param.
व्यापेत संक्लेश विमोह साध्वसं स्वादृष्टवद्भि पुरुषैरभिष्टुतम्। So the translation, the personality of Godhead, being thus very much satisfied with the penance of Lord Brahma, was pleased to manifest his personal abode. See here, after he performed his tapasya, Prabhupada says the Lord was very much satisfied and pleased to show him Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha, personal abode, was pleased to my Vaikuntha, the supreme planet above all others. This transcendent abode of the Lord is adored by all self-realized persons, freed from all kinds of miseries and fear of illusory existence.
This connects with the Brahma.
Yes. Yeah, it is. Purport. The troubles of penance accepted by Lord Brahma were certainly in the line of devotional service, bhakti. Otherwise, there was no chance that Vaikuntha Swalokam, the Lord's personal abodes, would become visible to Brahmaji. So that means his practice was bona fide, and it's also bhakti yoga. Not something he created or something. It is bhakti yoga. For Brahma, his bhakti yoga was to do that austerity to please Krishna, because he was going to do something, some activity, but he wanted the Lord's blessing or the Lord's instruction or the Lord's guidance, so that he can do it properly. The personal abodes of the Lord, known as Vaikunthas, are neither mythical nor material as conceived by the impersonalists. But realization of the transcendental abodes of the Lord is possible only through devotional service. And so that's why we should be very careful when we say that you do just tapasya and you'll get something. We may get something, but if it's not devotional, we won't get Krishna. Has to be, whatever tapasya you do must be connected to Krishna. You understand? Sometimes people do all kinds of tapasya. Sometimes devotees do extreme chaturmasya. But are they connecting to Krishna? Are they connecting it properly? So that has to be also very properly done. Not just whimsically, oh, so and so is doing tapasya, I also do tapasya. Like that. Oh, I'll do chaturmasya. Sometimes devotees do the Bhishma Panchaka at the end of Kartik, you know. But Prabhupada never did all that. Some devotees do that, but why are they doing it? How are they connecting to Krishna? And I've heard some devotees say, oh, my guru is doing, so I'm doing. So one, unless one is instructed to do by the superior authority, one shouldn't whimsically do things, even tapasya. Otherwise, as in Bhagavad Gita, I'll be in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance. So through devotional service, everything is possible. Few lines down, Prabhupada says, whereas the trouble of penance in other processes of self-realization, jnana, dhyana, yoga, etc., without any Vaikuntha realization, ends in trouble only and nothing more. There's no profit in beating husks without grains. So therefore, no point doing tapasya if it's not connected to bhakti. Smartavyam Vishnu Vishmatavya Najatasi. Always remember Krishna, never forget. When it's not connected to Krishna, don't do it, that's all. Then you do it. Yeah. Okay, we'll go to the next verse, text 10.
So, Brahma actually did the tapasya before. And also, even if you look at, you know, when you read Bhagavad Gita, even other devotees like Prachetas.
Yes.
You know, they also did the tapasya. You know,
yeah, so.
All Daksha Prasad.
Every time. All of them did tapasya to please the Lord first, yeah. In those days they had the understanding that get the mercy of the Lord. So, but even approaching the Lord, one's desire must be pure. If the thing is slightly tinged, then you get different results. Daksha got a different result. Yeah. Even though the Lord was pleased, he also wanted to create, but he had a different, but his results was more material. So eventually because of that, he became very proud of his tapasya. So he became offensive to Narada.
That's not so than Narada.
Yeah. So that's why I'm emphasizing tapasya must be done for Krishna, not for other reasons. Yeah. You have to be very careful what you do also.
So if, let's say if you want to take it, like let's say do something extra, like chanting or something.
Yeah.
Should we check with the devotee?
Spiritual master. Certain things, like if you want to chant 64 rounds before you go to India to do your big preaching for 2 years in a hut all by yourself. Yeah, something like that. Then yeah, you ask permission like that. You can see in the life of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he did for 10 years because he made a vow he'll chant 1 billion holy names, you know. So once he completed that, to preach he did that, to get the mercy of the Lord. We can't do this. So we approach our spiritual master who will minimize our tapasya. Anyway, we can't do it like that, but they will give us a tapasya that is suited for us. So our tapasya is to please them. He says, go and open something, we go there, and that's our tapasya. Right? Give up your family, take sannyas, okay. Oh. Like that. That's our tapasya. Oh, you run away. Anyway, yeah. Yeah.
And he said that in this age, the most practical austerity is preaching.
Hmm.
That gives the results of all the austerities anybody can
get. Preaching will give you everything. It is, yeah. Yeah, it teaches you how to be a good person. Humble position. Text 10. Pravartate yatra rajastamastayo Sattvam cha mishram na cha kala vikrama Na yatra maya kim utapare hare Anuvrata yatra sura sura chitaha
Anuvrata yatra sura sura chitaha.
In that personal abode of Lord, the material modes of ignorance and passion do not prevail, nor is there any of their influence in goodness. There is no predominance of the influence of time. So what to speak of the illusory external energy? It cannot enter that region. Without discrimination, both the demigods and the demons worship the Lord as devotees. Interesting. So in Vaikuntha, there is no influence of rajas or tamas. No, there is no goodness also, because it's vishuddha sattva. Pure goodness. Because goodness in this platform, in the material platform, is still mixed with raja and tama, little portions. So whenever there's raja, there's also goodness and tama in smaller portion. That's how it exists in this material world. There's always some mixing. Sometime one is superior, sometime another one is superior. But it's always mixed. But in Vaikuntha, there's no raja, tama, so sattva. It is Vishuddha sattva. It is transcendental goodness. It is like the Lord Himself. And this Shuddha sattva is composed of eternity and knowledge, Satchit potency. And it's connected to the Lord's Swarup Shakti. Celestial song. In the purport, you know, Prabhupada talks about how everything is Lord's creation, and how people think that they are puffed up like God, everything. So towards the end of the first paragraph, Prabhupada says, when one is not in the mode of ignorance and passion, one is supposed to be situated in the mode of goodness in the material world. Goodness in the material world also at times become contaminated by touches of the modes of passion and ignorance. In the Vaikuntha Loka, it is unalloyed goodness only. So Prabhupada wants to make that understanding clear. Next paragraph, Prabhupada says, the whole situation there is one of freedom from the illusory manifestation of the external energy. So that means there's no Maya there. Although illusory energy is also part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, illusory energy is differentiated from the Lord. The illusory energy is not, however, false. That means there is, it is real. Maya is real, not that it's imagination, no. Because what Jagan Mithya, right? They say everything is false. Yeah. Thank you. So Prabhupada continues a few lines after giving the example of the snake and rope and the water in the desert. He says, therefore the material creation of the Lord may be an illusion to the non-devotee, but to a devotee even the material creation of the Lord is a fact. The only thing is it is temporary, okay, but it's factual, as the manifestation of his external energy. But this energy of the Lord is not all. The Lord has his internal energy also, which has another creation known to be the Vaikuntha Lokas, where there is no ignorance, no passion, no illusion, and no past and present. If you don't have knowledge, then we will guesculate, speculate, like that. And comparatively, we know the ratio is 3-1. Superiority, spiritual energy is 3-1. Of the material nature. So then he says, even if you have a spacecraft, you cannot reach these spiritual planets. And therefore you cannot say these planets don't exist. Because you can't see with your eyes. You can't even see all the planets in this universe, what to speak of the spiritual planets. In the next paragraph, Prabhupada says, on a point of Srila Jiva Goswami, these transcendental qualities as revealed through the devotional service of the Lord are distinct from mundane qualities of ignorance, passion and goodness. Because in Vaikuntha everything is transcendental. Okay, so you cannot say they are the same. Whatever you read about Vaikuntha, it is not the same. Whatever we see here is a reflection, like a shadow, like in the mirror, with the mother giving the mirror to the child to see the moon in the mirror, like that. We'll stop here. Yeah.
A lot of times,
yeah, because Prabhupada is using Jiva Goswami, Sridhar Swami, who refer a lot to the Puranas to prove the Bhagavad, like in the Sandarbhas and so on. Many of these quotes are coming from Sandarbhas that Prabhupada used, like Jiva Goswami, and he is quoting from Narada, Pancharatra, or different Puranas, like. Sometimes certain aspects are more clear in one Purana, more information of that particular thing, so they quote from that. Otherwise, you know, even if you read, let's say you just read the second canto, not all the information of creation is clear. At least from our level. You can see Sukadeva Goswami accepted and he continues to ask more questions. So then in third and fourth canto, more information on creation is revealed, at least in the third, down to elemental, how he actually creates the planets and so on. Otherwise we don't know how he does it. Even then, how does he do it?
Beyond
our capacity. How is he, you know, the planets all in seed-like form, and then he expands them, and then he puts, how does he put them there? These are shaktis. So he has a specific shakti, creative shakti. That is, he is empowered to do this. Brahma is empowered. Something is called Bhur, something, shakti. It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He has a special, he's empowered by the Lord to do this creation. And then he can put the living, this living entity goes here, this, you know. He uses his mind and intelligence to put them in different places.
Her directions.
What? Oh. So she's back from work?
Yeah.
I'm just checking.
Is working.
All right, you can get started.